You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Just like their division, they made it a decisive victory today. Congratulations to the White Sox, the American League Central Divisions. They beat Cleveland
in
not
style.
Only in the division race, but on their field today. And they took it to them today, Waddle.
Yes, they did. Put up seven runs in the first couple of innings. Look, this was the inevitable. We were waiting for this to finally happen and come to fruition. Doesn't make it any less sweet. We knew that this was the best team in this division early on. And tip of the cap to the players, tip of the cap to Tony La Russa, and tip of the cap also to Rick Hahn, who put together a hell of a team. He made trades at the deadline that we all appreciated, and it's just so far it's been a great run. But this is step one for a team that should be able to make a lot of noise going forward.
Years in the making, right? I mean, last year was so sweet to arrive a year early. But remember, it's the COVID year. It's a shortened season. This year was a marathon, and the one word that keeps surfacing is resilient. This White Sox team overcame so many different injuries, so many different hurdles, and they ran away with the division, and now October is on their mind. October 7th, the White Sox are American League Central Division champions. We want to take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. We will be all White Sox until 4:30 when Connor is back with the ESPN White Sox crew, and we will be getting ready for Game 2. Let's discuss the season. When we return, it's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie on the air till 4:30. The Sox are the division champions. October 7th is when the postseason starts. Really want to dig into what the accomplishments of Rick Hahn was able to do in these last few years when Jesse joins us from the field in Cleveland at 4 o'clock. But this is about the White Sox fan. You will get to see your first home playoff game since 2008 against Tampa. Remember, last year was only in Oakland.
Right.
So back-to-back postseasons for the first time in history.
It's
first home playoff series or games you're going to get. You're most likely going to start on the road in Houston, but then obviously you're going to get games here, and it will be the first games that Guaranteed Rate Field has hosted in the postseason since 2008.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, what a great accomplishment for Rick Hahn, who's done such a beautiful job putting this team together.
The rebuild was perfect, and now let's see, with the window wide open, what they're able to do in the postseason. Alex in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey guys, great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm calling in because I want to address all the Tony La Russa haters. I think he's done a great job with this team this year. We've had a lot of serious injuries. I think it's time we give this man some credit.
I think it's fair to acknowledge that Tony did a very nice job. Sylvie, you and I talked about this, I believe, yesterday. We've talked a lot about the second half of the season. With the win today, they're a game over 500 since the All-Star break. But they've had to deal with so many different injuries and navigate the second half of the season, missing so many different guys. And the struggles at times that they may have had, or the criticisms that we have had, have nothing to do with Tony La Russa. I think, you know,
yes, being in the second half,
saddled with a number of different decisions to have to make on a day-in and day-out basis with a team that isn't healthy, I think Tony did a very nice job navigating those moments.
And you know me, I never loved the hire, and I was critical halfway through the season. I got to say, look, and I'm working, and I'm watching, okay? I think the way he paced his team in the second half, a lot of fans didn't like it. When you got to get Tim Anderson right. Tim Anderson, what does he do? He sets the stage in this clinching game. You know how Tim Anderson is. As Tim Anderson goes, this White Sox team goes. So if he's hitting on all cylinders in October and he's healthy, that's the key. And I thought La Russa did a really good job giving him days. They ultimately had to get him on the IL. But the key is that he's healthy now.
Yeah,
Dre in Denver, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dre?
Hey, I'm very, very, very happy. I'm very happy that they on ESPN 1000. I'm very happy my favorite radio show gets to come on afterwards and celebrate with me and a White Sox fan. I didn't want Tony La Russa in the beginning. We had pitching concerns. We got Lance Lynn. We got Rodon back. He throws a no-hitter. Aloy goes down with injuries. Robert goes down with injuries. We got the Yerminator. We had just a great, great baseball season. COVID going on, and I'm just happy they. This is like the final piece to this season. But I don't want to go on crazy expectations in the postseason. I'm like you, Sylvie, and guys with Tim Anderson back now. I want to see this lineup with Anderson, Roberts, Moncada. I want to see all the heavy hitters together and see what they can do for this run.
The only thing I disagree with you on is you don't. I think I heard you say you don't want to have crazy expectations in the postseason. Look, it's win it all or go home. It's World Series or bust. I mean, this is what White Sox fans have waited for all season. Yeah, look, that's what the expectation should be. It's not, hey, let's get to the ALCS this year or let's get to the World Series. It is let's win it all this year. So let's continue that conversation. Jesse Rogers is going to join us. He's been traveling with the White Sox. He knows a thing or two about winning championships. Remember, he covered the Blackhawks when they won their first Stanley Cup in so many years. He was on the Cubs beat when they won their first World Series in 108 years, and now he's with the White Sox. Jesse covering baseball. He's in Cleveland. He will join us in 2 short minutes.
From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is the home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox.
Runner at third. Here's a 1-2. Swing and a miss. Sox win the division. They are the American League Central champions. A few hugs, but it's pretty low key right now on the field, and a lot of handshakes and hugs in the dugout.
This does not surprise me, Lynn. I guarantee this is a club that came together and said this is unfinished business. The feeling has had to have been we're going to win the division, but we're not stopping there. And I'm not going to say that that came right from the leader, Tony La Russa, but I have a feeling that he had something to say, leading his club to believe we got a lot more baseball to play and a lot more great things to accomplish.
Great call right there by Len Casper and Darren Jackson on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Game 2 coming up at 4:30. Great work by the entire ESPN White Sox crew. Ryan McGuire, Eric Ostrowski, Connor McKnight. He'll be back here in a half hour from right now. Just awesome coverage all season. We're just getting started. I mean, we've got the rest of the season, and then we've got the postseason, which will begin October 7th.
And that's what we've had our sights on, right? I mean, like, look, not to overlook anything, but these White Sox, they proved that they were the best in that American League Central division early on. So, you know, we started looking ahead a long time ago. So now we'll be able to focus on what they've got in front of them in the postseason.
And it's why they were able to rest so many guys, you know, when they needed it most. And we'll see if they could take advantage of that in October. Before we get to Jesse, who's on the field in Cleveland, a couple of notes. First of all, tomorrow we're going to be at Kenny's in Countryside. So make it a jam-packed football Friday. Would love to see you at Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside. It is all brought to you by Miller Lite. We'll have some great giveaways. Obviously, we'll be talking about the Bears and Cleveland. A big weekend in Cleveland going on there. A clinch and hopefully a Justin Fields debut win in his first ever start. Abdallah, really quick, you have the injury report. You were telling me down the line we have now a knee injury for Akeem Hicks. Is that the headline of the day?
Akeem Hicks didn't practice yesterday, and it said just because of illness, and now it says illness slash knee. Tayshawn Gibson, too, also added to the injury report. He was on there yesterday's limited. He's now did not participate in practice. Eddie Goldman was limited for the second day in a row with his knee. Darnell Mooney also limited for the second day in a row with the groin injury.
You don't want to see that linger, that's for sure. So Kenny's Irish Pub tomorrow in Countryside, brought to you by Miller Lite. And Waddle, what did you think? The White Sox did the Waddle. They handed the football to the referee when they won the division. What'd you think of that?
They've got another game this afternoon. They've got more to do. So no, I like the way they handled it. I think that probably they would have responded a little bit differently if they didn't have more work this afternoon, but I thought it was really cool how they handled it. And look, there will be time to celebrate, and
tonight,
hopefully there will be, yes. And there
you
will
celebrate
be
no matter what happens in game two,
of
right?
Of course you do, yes. Of course you do.
All right, let's bring in Jesse Rogers, who is on the field in Cleveland. Game two will happen at 4:30. We've got the coverage. Jesse, what were your thoughts on the way the White Sox, it wasn't ho-hum, they were very appreciative, lots of hugs. Tony La Russa was handing out a job well done, but it wasn't the usual jumping up and down and tackling everybody in the middle of the field scene.
Oh, no, not at all. And I was down there as it ended, and I was actually a little surprised. It was very subdued. It looked no different than maybe a big, middle of the season win, right? I was surprised, but I think you guys hit the nail on the head. It'd be different if this was the end game, right? Then you'd expect them to be jumping on top of each other. And you're right, Tommy. I think if not for the second game, maybe there would have been a little bit more over the top celebrating. But I think in general, it's about what's going to happen next month. So yeah, and also the big lead, right? This was inevitable, so that's part of it as well. A couple players talked about sort of a sense of relief as well as celebration. But I was surprised. It was pretty subdued, and I was right there on the field. I thought there'd be more, but that's okay. That means they want more next month.
Jesse, I asked Len this the other day. Do you get the sense being around this team when you are around them that they're not looking past anybody and they're not taking anything for granted, but they want that second season to begin sooner rather than later because this long slog has been something where we knew they were going to win this division. Let's get the real thing going as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Look, you see this with the Milwaukee Brewers. Huge lead. They're struggling at the end here to clinch it. They're going to clinch it. I think when you have that big lead, it kind of gets a little wonky there. The one thing, Tommy, is they need to get healthy, right? So more time for Andrew Vaughn. I guess more time for Carlos Rodon, although I'm not sure a week or so may do it for him, right? He might need 3 months. Yes, in one sense, let's get this thing going. On the other sense, even Tim Anderson, who is the motor to this team like I've never seen. I mean, even more than Dexter Fowler, right? They are 14-1 when this guy hits a home run. They're 20 over .500 when he just starts. They're basically .500 when he doesn't. I mean, he is the difference maker. So I think he's been holding back. That's obvious when you see him run. So the more time, the better to heal up. But, yes, in general, the vibe is let's get this thing going for sure.
Jesse, let's talk about Rick Hahn and this rebuild that he was able to accomplish. They arrived, obviously, a year early, so this isn't like a new conversation at all. We've been recognizing what he's been able to do. But I always go back to three words that he used as sort of like the starting point. When he said, mired in mediocrity, he did a press conference one day, and he just said that that's where they're stuck, and they weren't going to let that happen anymore, and then they just totally started trading everyone. They made the big trade with Boston. They made the big trade in Washington. That brought them Giolito. It brought them, I think Lopez came back in that deal as well. I mean, it was a fantastic deal. But let's talk about all the great things Rick Hahn was able to do, including on this trade deadline going forward as well.
Let's bring it really full circle, because I'm standing where I was standing in 2016, how time flies, right? Talking to you guys before Game 6 and Game 7, I'm in the same place. Let's bring it full circle, and I'm sure the Sox would admit it. Maybe they would. They don't do that if the Cubs don't do what they did. Both teams proved you can rebuild in a big market. Now, if either rebuild had failed, they'd be in big trouble, because that's a tough pill to swallow with the ticket prices and everything else to happen in a big market. So the fact that the Cubs did it, I think gave cover to the White Sox to do it. And the way to do it is go all in. It's kind of what Jed Hoyer's doing right now again. You don't half-ass it. And Rick Hahn pulled the Band-Aid off. He traded everything that wasn't, you know, bolted down, and you just gobble up those prospects back, and you see what works and what doesn't. You go from there. That's how you do it. You have as many good players as you can. A couple aren't going to work out, but the ones that do, you end up winning a division like they did today. So it's that full-on approach of a rebuild that has to happen. And he was right. You can't do it halfway.
Jess, we will have plenty of time to break down the first round of the postseason. But as you look ahead and you focus strictly on this White Sox team, what would be the thing that is going to be most important from your perspective that needs to kind of work itself out for them to go on a long run?
I mean, I think they have to get back to how they pitched to start the game in April, May, and June. I'm talking about their four starters, whoever they may be. I don't know
if they get the old... Can they do that?
You're not going to get the old Carlos Rodon back. I think that's pretty obvious. So let's just put him aside for a second. I do think Lynn, Giolito, and Cease can do what they need to do to get them there, and then you figure out game four a little bit. So, yes, it'll be Lynn and Giolito 1 and 2. Maybe Giolito gets one. I say it'll be Lynn. I think Cease is going to get 3 at home. He's better at home anyway, and a young player like that probably in Houston would be a little difficult. And then 4 is going to be interesting, whether it's Rodon, and then you piggyback him with Kopech, or if Rodon can't go at all, Kopech might start for 3 innings, and you bring in Keuchel late. There's a lot of combinations you can go with. But the answer to your question is yes, with a caveat about that 4 spot. But maybe you don't have to get the game 4 if it works out. Here's the thing, though. The Houston Astros are really good. They are really good at home. They're really good on the road. I know the White Sox, for a fact, are looking at Houston right now, not just the normal scouting, but also to see if there's any trash can banging going on down there.
Really?
I think they are looking at everything. Their numbers on the road have gotten better in the second half, but they've been pretty dominant at home, especially early on individually if you look at the players. So they're looking at everything, and I know that they wouldn't be shocked if something was going on down there. Of course, they'd have to prove it. So, yes, this is going to be a very difficult task. You know, here's the thing. The White Sox probably could have pushed for more wins to get that home field. I'm not sure if they would have gotten it, but it probably would have come at a cost. Like, you don't want to push Lynn especially anymore, or Cease as a young pitcher. So they backed off a little bit, and, you know, they'll have to win a game on the road at least. But I think they're better for it. They'll probably be better for it now and will be next month to back off a little bit. So that's what we've seen out of them. It's not over yet for home field, but it certainly feels like it.
Jesse Rogers is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers as the White Sox have clinched the division. Jesse is in Cleveland. Game 2 will be starting right here on ESPN 1000 with a 4:30 pregame show as Connor McKnight will be back. Jesse, like, this team is littered with unsung heroes. Like, obviously, you have the starring players. You just mentioned the starting rotation guys. You know how good the bullpen was hyped and how big they've been. And Hendricks, we knew, was their big ticket item, and the mashers in the lineup. But of all the other guys, whether it's some of the young guys like a Gavin Sheets who came up, or a Mercedes who fueled them through the Aloy injury in April, or a guy like Goodwin who they get off the scrap heap, or Billy Hamilton, is there a guy you circle more than any other and say, boy, that was the MVP of the unsung heroes?
You know, I put Andrew Vaughn right up there, and I know he got hurt here, but if I go back to the offseason, my own thinking, remember I was kind of critical. They didn't pick up that left-handed DH, and Rick Hahn kept saying Andrew Vaughn. Well, he was right. Andrew Vaughn did carry them for a little bit there. And who knows if he doesn't get hurt where he finishes in Rookie of the Year balloting. So it's tight, because you're right about the Goodwins. And Billy Hamilton has never played this well. Never in his life. I don't care at any level. He has not played, and they got the most out of him. So it's splitting hairs. But I would put Vaughn, because he's a rookie and hasn't been there, you know, before and done it, I'd put him right up there, because there's a period of time where they needed him to sort of step up. Other guys were not, and he did.
Jesse, you know what's even, I'm sorry, Waddle, why it's more impressive in my mind is not just the way he's hit at times, but like we never thought, we were told that Vaughn's going to be a first baseman or a DH, and the way he handled left field, and then they're like, okay, you can play left, let's stick you in right. Can you handle right field? He handled right field. There was a game or two where he even played the infield. Like, to me, the versatility was not on the scouting report, and that's what impressed me the most.
No, it's a great point, because when Eloy goes down, you know he could be a DH. You don't know if Vaughn can go out there, and all of a sudden it settles everything down. Rick Hahn would have had to make a trade if Vaughn struggles in the field and or at the plate. It would have been short. I think you're exactly right bringing up his defense, because he played left, he played right, he played first, and no one knew he could play the outfield like that. So that's another reason to put him up there with the guy, the unsung guys. I mean, at least Hamilton and Goodwin are better in outfielders, right? This guy was not. So I give him credit. Leury Garcia also at times was Anderson out, yeah. I thought was very good as an unsung guy. And remember, he's the longest tenured White Sox.
Jess, this second game really doesn't mean much to most people, but it is, in some ways, it is important for Michael Kopech, isn't it? Isn't this the time where he starts to kind of reestablish the confidence that everyone has in him? And maybe he's going to be called on to go 2, 3, 4 innings in the postseason at some point. So in some ways, what Michael Kopech does between now and the start of the postseason is important for this team.
Michael Kopech might be the biggest X factor on this team. He is going to be utilized. There's 2 days off in a playoff series and a 5-game series. He'll be used as much as you can, especially in like a game 2 or game 4. He could start game 4. He could come in relief, pitch 2-3 innings, take a day off. I mean, you're right. And he might be the only guy motivated tonight, right? The rest of the team's going to be checked out, I'm sure. Yes, they are counting on big innings out of him in the postseason. That was the plan from day one. I remember, Sylvia, you asking me and others, you know, late in the year, is he more valuable as a starter or as a reliever? And I thought starter if they needed him, and they may if Carlos Rodon is down. But right now, he's the key reliever to get the ball to Kimbrel and Hendricks, and he's going to be that 5th, 6th, 7th inning sort of guy, and it could happen in 2 or 3 different games in a 5-game series. So important. He's the X factor.
All right, enjoy, Jesse. Thank you. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
Jesse Rogers covering the White Sox in Cleveland. He's on the field right now. Our pregame will begin at 4:30. Jesse, again, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. There's someone on our radio station who is walking and has been to Guaranteed Rate Field on foot. And I believe he's heading north now, and he's raised a lot of money. We'll check in with him. And I also want to know about a gambling play from you, Waddle. We'll get to all of that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, don't forget Kenny's in Countryside tomorrow. Waddle and I will be there. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. Football Friday. We cannot wait. We'll talk more White Sox as well as they celebrate the division championship. Well-earned. All the injuries, all the important players who have missed time, they still run away and hide with this division. And next up will be the Houston Astros, the team that they beat to win the World Series in 2005.
Watching the broadcast today, I heard Jason Benetti say their top 6 players have only played, I didn't get the exact number, only played a handful of games together so far this year because so many guys have been out at so many different times. It really has been unbelievable what they've had to persist through.
I want to give you the lineup, speaking of that, in a bit.
I saw.
First, here is David Kaplan on the Corona Hotline. Cap does a great job raising money for Bernie's Book Bank. It's walkasonechicago.org to contribute. They're in the middle of their walk. He's walking about 25 miles to all the Chicago stadiums, and he has been to Guaranteed Rate Field. I saw that picture earlier. He's got people walking with him who has raised over $1,000 on their own. Well-being check on Cap. How you feeling?
I was doing really, really well, Sylvie. There's about 22 of us out here walking, and Darren, who's the CEO of Bernie's, and I just got drilled by a wave because we had to cut over on this lake path, and
oh boy,
my feet are soaked.
Yeah, get away from that.
So,
you don't want to get crotch rot either, so I hope you didn't get some of that wave on your body either.
I did not, just feet and ankles. But fortunately, it's not my first rodeo. When we get to Fullerton, which is probably another mile, I have an extra pair of shoes, dry socks. Take that.
Where are you right now on the lake, and where are you? Where's your next destination if people want to catch you?
So we're going to stop at Fullerton Avenue Beach, and we'll be there, I would imagine, 15 minutes. We're probably just inside a mile. We're walking right on the path next to Lakeshore Drive going north. We'll get to Fullerton, then we go to Loyola, and then we finish. We got to go to Wrigley first, then Loyola, and stopping at another school that's waiting with some people to meet us today. We got to, I've covered, like you guys, amazing events. We handed out hundreds of books to an entire school that was waiting
for us.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen these kids.
Excited
to get a bag of books.
I saw that you guys are well over $100,000 raised. Where are you at right now?
Right now.
That's great.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Hey, keep it going, and we'll continue to send people to walkasonechicago.org. Thanks, Cap.
Good work, Cap.
Are awesome. Appreciate you.
There you go. There's David Kaplan. They're just shy of Fullerton Avenue Beach, and they'll be approaching Wrigley Field and then Loyola if you want to catch it. But again, the website's the most important thing. If you want to contribute $1 or $5, I think it's 40 books provides 40 books for kids, or $40 provides 40 books for kids, so on and so forth. There are different levels that you can, whatever you can afford. Again, the website is walkasonechicago.org.
Wonderful cause, for sure.
So you saw this lineup in game two?
I did. I am actually staring at it right now.
All right. So is this a money-making opportunity for, like, it could be the best of both worlds. You win the division, and you know, you hate to bet against your team, but is this, you know, we're into making money. Is this the game? I mean,
okay,
CPD Bob, who is a Sox fan, Southside guy, 31st and Union is where he grew up. He even texted me, goes, I'm hopping on the Indians here in game two.
Okay, but you've got, and that's where I would think people would go. But again, I think Kopech has something to, you know, he needs to get himself pointed in the right direction. So I think you're going to see a good effort from him. I was looking at his strikeout line, but over 2.5 strikeouts is -190. So that's a little too much. It's too much juice for me.
Yeah.
But if you look at their lineup, you've got guys, I think, that are still going to bring a little something. You know, you give Gavin Sheets an opportunity to get four at bats, I think he's going to be focused. I think the same is for Zach Collins, for Adam Engel. I think that there are guys in this lineup that still have some pop, and I think will bring their A game. So I'm not so sure I would get. I was looking at it, but I'm not so sure that I would dive on it, to be honest with you.
All right, I already did.
Are you inclined to?
Yeah,
I did.
I put a unit down at +100 on the Indians. Here's the lineup, just the one that Waddle was alluding to. Cesar Hernandez is leading off and playing second base. Adam Engel is batting second in left field. Lourdes Garcia is batting third at shortstop. Yasmani Grandal is in there again, but as the DH, of course. Brian Goodwin batting fifth in right field. How about this? Andrew Vaughn is going to be activated off the injured list, and they're going to promptly put him at third base.
Here we go.
So, like we were just talking about the defensive versatility that Vaughn has shown you this year at third and second and first and left and in right. And he comes off the injured list, and Andrew Vaughn in the second game of the doubleheader will play third base. Gavin Sheets, as Waddle mentioned, is at first base. Billy Hamilton back in the lineup in center field, and Zach Collins batting ninth doing the catching.
Yeah, you also have to look at the Indians lineup as well. And I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that have batting averages below .230. So
yeah, they don't hit.
Yeah, so
it's such a great point by you on Kopech. I mean, you know, another thing, and like this is a positive day, and this is a day to celebrate what Rick Hahn built and what they've done for the first time in making the postseason for 2 years in a row, and it's talking about playing a home playoff game for the first time since 2008. It's been too long since a Sox fan has been able to go to the South Side and seen a playoff game with that awesome atmosphere. But like another guy, as we do focus ahead, You know, Craig Kimbrell's pitching the sixth inning of a, and I know it was only a seven-inning game, the sixth inning of a blowout, and, you know, he got bailed out by them trying to run in a 7-2 game, which was weird. Yeah. But I think he walked two and he hit a batter. You know, and I believe that's what happened in his last outing, too, where he had two quick outs, and then he hit a batter, and then the next thing you know, that guy scored the winning run in Detroit.
I think you look at Liam Hendricks, and you probably feel best about him of all of the guys in the bullpen right now, don't you?
You do, I mean, yes. He's been solid from start to finish.
You look at Kopech, and again, a guy, a relief pitcher's ERA will fluctuate greatly because, you know, you just don't throw that many innings, but his ERA in the month of September is 5.5. His ERA in the month of August was almost 7. Now, he has still had moments where he looked very, very good. But as Jesse said, he may be your, like, Lance Lynn goes out there and does his bulldog thing and gives you six innings. You still need somebody to come in here and bridge the gap between your starter and your closer. I think Kopech is got to be that guy. So I think every inning he pitches going forward is going to be something that's going to be important for him.
There's no doubt about that. All right, come see us tomorrow. We'll be back together in person tomorrow. Kenny's in Countryside. Kenny's Irish Pub, brought to you by Miller Lite. Thank you to Bleck and Abdallah. Connor McKnight, we just heard him. He's back again with White Sox pregame. White Sox and Indians game two coming up next. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have a good afternoon.
Instant classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'm giving more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000.